Hello and welcome to Trapping Radio Podcast, the original trapping podcast. I believe this is episode 368, if I'm not mistaken. Might be. Anyway, we're up there bumping, getting closer to 400, which is amazing to me to think about. We've talked about trapping for that many hours. But I just want to welcome everybody. This is the first podcast of 2020. And I think we're going to have some more good shows to go, to be honest with you. It's something that I look forward to doing. It's something, it's challenging. You know, there's a lot of guys that start podcasts, which I'm totally fine with. And, you know, they get 8 or 10 into them and they kind of fall off the face of the earth. And part of the reason for that is it's easier to do interviews, which I know a lot of people like and I love doing. And then the other part is, when it's just you talking about your trapping experience, you better have some trapping experience if you're going to talk about it for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. And I think there's a little bit of falling short in that with some of the other podcasts, but I wish them all well. I hope they do good. I hope whatever the reason is they're doing this, they get that out of that. But we've been doing this for a long time, and it's something I'm super proud of. When we started doing this, it was kind of a new thing. Podcasts are not near as popular as they are now. And we jumped off in this neck deep, and we're really glad we do. In case y'all don't know this, when y'all tune in to Trapping Radio, depending on the topic and the time of year, you're going to be somewhere between 25,000 on a very bad week, say like July 4th, up to now where it's going to be over 30,000, close to 40,000. So basically, the Trapping Radio audience is about 3 to 4 times what the NTA had, which to me is showing a weakness of the NTA and even the FTA for that. They've got to figure out how to use technology and get with the times, because there's a lot of guys out there that want to support trapping, want to learn about trapping, want to talk about trapping, want to be part of the Trapping Brotherhood. And they're not going to go the old way from the 1970s to do it. So just for other organizations out there, just to let you know that, you know, on any given weekend, we may have 40,000 trappers tune in to Trapping Radio. That should give you a clue that there's that many trappers willing to listen for an hour, hour and a half about trapping, what the real numbers are out there. So to me, that's pretty strong. And for a little bitty industry like trapping, that is that's a pretty big number there. So just thought I'd throw that out there. I want to start with, I get a question a lot lately, and it's happening more and more, and I think it's because newer trappers are getting in, and they're trying different things, and then some of the older trappers are trying different things, and one of them is bait solution. Now, I make personally 2 different bait solutions for predators. We're talking bobcats, cats, and coyotes, and fox. My original one is this Predator Control Group bait solution. It comes in a pint. It's got all the love juices you want in there. It's got the preservative. All that is designed for a gallon of meat. And then we have the Federales bait solution, which I'm so glad so many of y'all are using, because that means I don't have to make as much of that. And it gives me a little bit of free time. That's the reason we come up with it. Same formula as Federales. Turn about any type of meat into Federales. So for $29 on that, that's a good deal. And it also is designed for a gallon of meat. The questions that I'm getting on the bait solution, and I'm sure the other bait solutions on the market are going to be similar of what I'm getting ready to say. So I would check with the manufacturer of whatever bait solution you want to do. I'm sure there's plenty of good ones out there, of how and they recommend what to do. So mine is pretty simple. And these are what the questions are on. How much meat do I use? It seems strong. Can I use more meat and make it not as strong and stuff like that? Which are all good questions. And I want a trapper for him to be able to design this in his system any way that he can. So Both of my bait solutions are designed for a gallon of meat. You know, that can be bobcat, beaver, horse, mule, muskrat, deer, beef, pork, whatever you want to use. Grind it up, pour the solution in there, stir it up, and then every day for about a week, you go out and you burp the lid. Now, by burping the lid into a lure maker means you just go pop the top on the lid. So you got it in a 5-gallon bucket. You know, that's going to be more than a gallon of actual bait because of the liquid. And it's going to produce gas because the preservatives aren't instant. You know, it's not like Star Trek where you just scan something and it's healed. When you put preservatives in meat, it takes a few days for it to get in there, it start knocking the bacteria down, and actually preserve the meat. Most time with sodium benzoate, you're looking anywhere from 3 to 5 to sometimes 7 days before the meat is actually preserved. So what I would recommend is you mix them all up, your bait, my solution, stir it up really, really good. You can stir it up every day if you want to, but at least every day for the first week, go out there and burp the lid because there's going to be gases built off of that bacteria that's struggling with the preservative. Close it. After another week, go when it's quiet and burp the lid and try to hear if you have any gas or you see any movement in the bucket itself to make sure that it's not still breaking down. For about 95% of you, even higher than that actually, the amount of preservative we put in the bait solution and the Federale's bait solution is more than adequate. But there's going to be a couple out of 100. I've had 2 this year that I know of, and we've sold several hundred bottles, so it's probably less than a couple out of 100, where you get something weird going on. You got some type of weird bacteria or some type of yeast that's in the air or just something that's stout, something that's aggressive. And sometimes you'll need to add another 1/2 cup or a cup of sodium benzoate to that to kill it. But that's only if, after a week, you burp the lid and it's still gassing off like it did the day after you put it all together. Then you know after a week, 7 days, that it's time to add some more preservative if you need it. Most of you won't. Now this is where the question's coming in, because that's pretty straightforward. The bait solution is pretty stout, and so is the Federale's bait solution. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that. One, I don't know what type of meat you're going to be using. I don't know the particular, if you're using it fresh or tainted or rotten or what's going on with whatever you're doing. See, that's totally out of my control. So I've added a little bit extra punch to these bait solutions. But there's been several guys that say, I think it's too strong. Can I add it to 2 gallons of bait? And the answer to that is yes, but there's a caveat. When you add, and I'm sure for anybody else's bait solution that's designed for a gallon, there's only so much preservative we can put in a formulation liquid that'll hold, and it's probably not going to be enough for 2 gallons of meat. But if you want the odor to be 1/2 of what you smell when it's a gallon, yeah, you put 1/2 of the bait solution in a gallon and the other 1/2 in another gallon, so you get 2 gallons of bait. But you're going to be responsible now to add preservative to both gallons because you've knocked the preservative that the manufacturer, which is me, has put in there, which is designed for a gallon of meat. So if you're going to do that, I would highly recommend, no matter whose bait solution you're using, if you want to cut the bait solution because you don't want it as strong, go ahead and get a cup of sodium benzoate, which is very cheap. You can get it at any supply. All of our sponsors carry it, except for Jeff, because he didn't sell stuff like that, or me. But you can get sodium benzoate really cheap. You can get it by the pint, and you get a cup. And mix that in with your extra gallon of bait. And so you're going to have to put that cup in each one of your baits, just so we're clear. Because we've diluted the amount of preservative in each one. So I would add a cup to each one just to make sure. Let it set for that week, make sure it's not burping off, and you can go rock and roll. Now, if you want to do it to three, you can do that, but then again, you're going to have to add more sodium benzonate, depending on what you want, because what I've noticed, a lot of guys up north, they want really strong baits. And a lot of guys down south, they don't like as strong of baits. And I can understand where this confusion is happening, because if someone is wanting a mellower bait, someone up north is wanting a stronger bait. Not that that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that just seems to be the consensus. You can do whatever you want with these bait solutions, because once you buy them, they're yours. And then, but you're going to be responsible for adding the extra preservative. So I wanted to get that out in the open, because I've got several questions about that here in the last couple of weeks, way more than normal. And I just thought I would share that with everybody. So before we get to the main topic of our show, I want to thank our sponsors. We have the best sponsors in the trapping industry. They are super professional. They get the product out when they say they're going to. Most of the time, within 24 to 48 hours, your product, and a lot of times it's going to be sent out the same day, depending on when you call and what how many more orders they have. I mean, let's just be honest. If you call in at 4 and they're got 400 orders before you, they might not get you that same day. That's just it's just a fact of physics in life there. But most of the time, you'll get your order sent out the same day or 24, 48 hours later at the very worst. I'm very watchful in listening to the sponsors. I want to make sure that if you're listening to Trapping Radio and you deal with any of our sponsors, that they treat you right. And it's been very easy because I've used the highest class of professional ones that I've used as sponsors. There's other good dealers out there, but I know these. I do business with all of these. So let's break these down. We have Wildlife Control Supplies. They're out of Connecticut. They have everything you need for animal damage control. They have a whole line of fur trapping supplies. They have my stuff in there. And just a great company, super professional. It's like you're dealing. They're kind of like F&T and Funky, for that matter. They're so organized, you almost feel like you're dealing with a military operation when you deal with them, just because it's so straightforward and it's amazing. Then we have Funky Trap Tags and Supplies, which is out of Iowa. He's a good friend of mine, Alan is, and he's got all kind of stuff for trapping and predator calls and mole traps and about everything else you'd want. He's just a great guy, great company to deal with. We have F&T Fur Harvesters. They're out of Alpena, Michigan. They have everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Most of y'all know who F&T is. They carry all of my supplies, the same that Funky does. And just to be straight, if you're ordering traps in my lure, you're better off to order them from one of those two companies, or Wildlife Control or Oki, because it'll save you a little bit on shipping. I greatly appreciate it when you order straight from me. You know, I get that's a retail sale for me. It's nice, but from your perspective, if you're saving some shipping, I totally understand why you do that. And then we have Oki Kegel and Trap out of Oklahoma. They have a lot to do with snares and traps. They have a full traps line. He sells a lot of meat. Most years he's a fur buyer. Just a great guy to deal with. And lastly, we have Dunlap Lures, which Jeff Dunlap's a good friend of mine. We're working on some stuff together right now. We're trying to lock some dates down and everything for a school next fall. Will it be just me and Jeff? And we will be $1 cheaper than Zagger School, whatever that is. So just to screw with Zagger a little bit, because he's a good friend. But we got some other things we got working on. But he is a tremendous lure maker. He's got a ton of experience. He's got the biggest trapping Facebook group on Facebook. And there's a reason for that. And he's just straight up honest. And he doesn't try to make things overcomplicated. And he's got a good sense of humor. Those are our sponsors. Those are the guys that I deal with. And if you're looking for some product, that's who you really should look at. because they'll take care of you. Now, being this is the first of 2020, and I've never done a show like this, because I'll be honest with you, when I hear other podcasts do this, it seems kind of like a throwaway, but this has really been on my mind lately. And the reason it's been on my mind is because, if most of y'all know, because of Strongman Podcast, I've gotten into lifting weights pretty heavy because I'm tired of getting older and feeling weaker. And it's making everything else function a lot better. Well, at one time of year, there's 1 month out of the year that the gym is crazy packed. And it's crazy packed with people that probably hadn't seen a gym since last January. This is when gyms make about 70%. Well, let that sink in. 70% of their income happens within the first 10 days of January. And all these people make New Year's resolutions, and they run down to the gym because they want to get in shape, lose fat, get strong, whatever it is. And the guys that usually go to the gym, we got to suffer through that because most of these people have no idea what they're doing. And it makes you cringe when you watch somebody that hasn't taken the time to learn, and you're thinking they're going to rip something off of their body because they're doing some really weird crap. And the gym and the equipment is full, and the benches are full, and all of this type stuff. And then about February, 80% of those will go away. You'll never see them again. By March, 95% of them will be gone, and you will never see them again until next January. And it's because of New Year's resolutions. We see this in the trapping industry also. People come in contact with a trapper or through Facebook or something on YouTube. They get all excited about trapping. They're dreaming about it. They're buying traps. They're buying equipment. They're getting ready. And then within 2 weeks into the season, they're just nowhere to be found out on the trap line. It seems to be a human characteristic of, until an activity starts, it's easy to get excited about it. But it's not easy to stay with it. Because let's face it, trapping is work. Trapping is dealing with bad weather. Trapping is dealing with cold hands and feet, getting wet, getting muddy, getting stuck in a truck or a four-wheeler or a boat, ripping off propellers, sinking canoes. I mean, it can be a little nightmarish at times. It's not as easy as sitting around a fire, drinking some coffee, watching a ball game. And a lot of guys get in, and then they quickly get out. Just like the new group that always comes in January. Today, when I go to the gym, I have a feeling it's going to be a frustrating experience, because they're all of a sudden, instead of being 5 or 10 people in our little small gym in our little small town like normal, there's probably going to be 50. And everybody's going to be running on top of each other, and people get aggravated and all kind of stuff like that. But I know by March, it'll be back to normal, and the regulars will be, you know, we kind of work with each other instead of on top of each other, and it works out pretty good. But this idea of a New Year's resolution, I don't know why I've been thinking about this so much. Now, I personally have no New Year's resolutions. I've thought about it. I've thought of what it could be. For me, it could be doing something a little different on YouTube, or it could be building so many new sites, or something like that, or coming out with some different type of lures, like I've been playing around with catfish baits and stuff like that, besides just trapping, for because there's a cash flow issue in this industry in the summer. Well, catfish, people that like to do that, they're going to do it in the summer, so it makes sense. So I've been playing around with that. But I couldn't really think of anything, the New Year's resolutions. Me trying not to be a big fat boy has been one that's been going on for over a year. Still something that I'm just as fired up today about as I was when I started that, so that's not it. I eat pretty clean, mostly carnivore, or what I would consider carnivore-ish. So I don't have to worry about that. Business is pretty stable. The way that it's going, especially since Alan at Funky Trap Tag Supplies is shipping all my product out for me. That's took a lot off of me, and I can just concentrate now on the lure. So I don't really see a reason to, you know, do anything with that. I spend a lot of time with my wife. I've got, you'll notice if you try to call me after 5, I just don't pick up the phone. If you try to call me on the weekend, the phone is turned off. I've had to set boundaries so I can have a decent relationship with my wife from trapping, except during work hours. So that's going. So there's really nothing to set there. And so I personally don't have any type of New Year's resolution that I'm pushing for. But I know it's a common thing that a lot of people done. And I've done it. I've done it several times. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to start a new business. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to quit eating so much junk food. I'm going to quit drinking Coke. You know, I've had all these for all these years, that, and it lasts about a week. And then you don't even think about it anymore. And that seems to be the normal. When you look at statistically, when people do studies on this, It's in the high 90% of people that after 1 month no longer even think about what their New Year's resolution was. So I thought maybe this would be an interesting topic to talk about because it's very applicable to trapping. So I wrote down some notes. And I think a lot of this, when you break it down, is why do people do New Year's resolutions? What is the real, under the covers, in the dark of night, reason that people do New Year's resolutions? I think when you boil it all down and you take away all of the fluff, it's guilt. People know that they're not doing the right thing. People know in life they're dropping the ball. They know this. They feel this. They can feel it pushing up against them all the time throughout the year. And then lo and behold, it's a new year and I'm going to start fresh and I'm going to kick butt and be the beast and all the talk and all the memes that you see on Instagram. But I think down deep, it's because of guilt. Guilt is a powerful motivator, if one allows it to be. But I think it's mostly the guilt of, no matter what other people think about you or what your online presence says you are, like I said, in the dark of night, under the covers, and it's just you and your thoughts, you know you're dropping the ball somewhere in your life. And you know that every day. Now, what do most people, what are the most of the New Year's resolutions for? Most people, it's to lose weight. They want to drop some pounds, or they want to, quote, get in shape, which, just get in shape, That's a moronic statement, unless you know what your shape is that you want to get into, because it's so generic that it goes everywhere that it doesn't really mean anything. So just getting in shape doesn't mean anything. And weight loss doesn't necessarily mean anything unless you've got a goal for a reason. A lot of people want to save money or they want to get their debt load lowered. Now, losing weight's important because you want to be healthy. Saving money's important because in life, I promise you, your car will break down. Your HVAC system will tear up. Your roof will get damaged. You will have something to happen that if you don't have any money saved up, you're going to have to go borrow it. And to get out of debt is something that people want, but I don't think they really go the distance to get it. Getting out of debt is hard because you've got to be responsible. You've got to have a little bit of self-discipline. You've got to be able to tell yourself no when you want a toy, or that you're going to eat something at home even though it's not the most delicious thing, because it's easier to go out and take everybody out to dinner on a credit card. To get out of debt is tough. Houses are expensive. Cars are expensive. I personally don't have credit cards and have not since the military. I learned my lesson with that. No credit cards. But, you know, a new truck today, you're looking at 50 grand easy. That's a lot of money, and it's hard to save for that. So it's easier to go in debt. But lo and behold, before you know it, you're in debt on a house, you're in debt on two cars, you're in debt on credit cards, and you wake up every day at the beginning of the month when it's time to do bills, and you realize you're working your butt off for something that you're not even going to get to keep but a few percentages out of your payroll for that, because you've already gave it away to all these different people. And it's hard to stay motivated financially when it seems like you're working for everybody else but yourself. And if you're in debt, it gets worse and worse and worse. So that's a reason I can understand saving money or getting out of debt. Another big one when you look at studies is people want to spend more time with their family or kids. Most people, because of debt, they feel like they have to push themselves all the time just to keep the bills going. Or they do selfish stuff and they know it, and again the guilt comes in, and they want to spend time with their family or their kids. Now, I'll be honest, when I first started in the trapping industry, I did not spend near as much time as I needed to with my wife. I was so driven that I'm lucky that it didn't end up bad. Now, I realize how important that is. That's the reason I have the boundaries that I have from the trapping industry, where I can spend quality time with my wife. A lot of people start about starting a business they've always dreamed of. Whatever that is, you know, a service business or a product business or an online business or a consulting business or whatever it is they want to. And you know, because most people see a business as freedom. And except for the beginning of it, if it's done right and it's a good product and you understand business, it will become freedom. It takes a lot of discipline. Discipline leads to freedom. Freedom does not lead to discipline. Look at all the little spoiled rich kids, and you can kind of get a grasp on that one. They want to start a business. A lot of you, starting with the season, want to go out of state. But there's a lot of mystery to that. And you always talk about wanting to go out, just like people talk about they want to start a business, or they talk about they want to lose weight, or they talk about getting out of debt. You want to go out of state trapping. And it's something you're fired up when you're sitting around thinking about it. As the days get closer, you come up with reasons not to do it. You know, a lot of guys get fired up because they want to catch a certain number of animals. And wherever you're at and you're trapping numbers, it's mostly going to be more than what you're catching now. it's usually round numbers. If you're catching 30 coyotes a year, you want to catch 50. If you're catching 50, you want to catch 100. You know, same with cats, coons, whatever. And those are kind of like New Year's resolutions that people make. But it when you talk to people year after year, they keep talking about this thing they want to do in trapping. And they keep having reasons why they can't do it. Some are legit. Most are excuses. Excuses are like cancer when it comes to doing something you want to do. It will eat it away until it's not going to happen. And lastly, when you look at all the studies on what people do, it's basically eating better. What does that mean? I have no idea. For me, it's eating more meat, less vegetables, maybe some fruit. No bread, grains, stuff like that. To some people, it's eating not meat. To some people, it's eating all meat. I don't know what eating better means, but it's kind of like getting in shape. What does eating better mean? Unless you know what it is, it's not going to happen because it doesn't mean anything. So these are reasons people do, trappers and non-trappers do, these New Year's resolutions. There's some guilt. They know they're falling down. They know they're not meeting their full potential. They know this. And it's kind of like a historic tradition that we do as people, I guess, at least in the Western world, where we do these resolutions. The question is not, should you do one? Or the question is not, is it a good thing to do? The real questions are, why doesn't this work for over 90% of people that do it? That's the real question. So if you're not doing what you want to on a trap line, why is that? And your first answer, I promise you, is a lie that you're telling yourself. You don't have time, but you got time to watch TV. You work all day, and then you watch TV. Or whatever it is. Your first answer, and probably your second and third answer, you will, I think reactively, try to protect yourself by lying to yourself. And these lies are nothing but elaborate fantasy stories we tell each other. Why don't we keep these resolutions when we know we're dropping the ball? I think a lot of it on the resolutions is their knee-jerk reactions. You know it. You think about it. It pops in your head. You say it. You kind of mean it. And then as soon as you struggle, you drop it. Because it was a knee-jerk reaction. You know, like when I was, and Jeff doesn't know that I'm going to say this, but Jeff Dunlap is a tremendously strong-willed individual, if you've ever met him. And I've spent hours and hours with him, talking and seeing, you know, you get to know somebody. One attribute of Jeff that I think is awesome is when he makes his mind up to do something, you're going to have to put the dogs of hell on him to get him to stop. Once he pulls the trigger. Now see, the other side of Jeff is he may take 6 months of mulling this over. Pros and cons. Does he really want it? Is it really worth it? Is it really important enough for him to go through whatever it is? Like Jeff has started the keto diet. And he's been sticking with it. But see, because I'm close to Jeff, Jeff's been thinking about this for over 6 months. Most people that do a New Year's resolution that doesn't work is it's a knee-jerk reaction. He didn't wake up one day and go, hey, I saw this thing online or on Instagram about the keto diet. I'm going to try the keto diet. That afternoon, He's doing some research on the keto. The next day, he's drinking bullet coffee and eating lots of fat and meat. That's not the way Jeff works. But see, I know Jeff well enough to know that he thinks these things through, and he really gets it in perspective before he commits. But once he commits, he's like a pit bull on a punt dog that's on a leash. He ain't turning that thing loose. Nothing you can do is going to get them jaws to come open. Jeff's going to succeed at the keto diet. I know that because I know Jeff. And I know that he didn't make a knee-jerk response on that or not. So if you're going to make a New Year's resolution of some type, regardless of what it's for, I would put a lot of thought into what it is you're going to be doing. Why do you really want to go on an out-of-state trip? Why do you want to catch 100 coyotes? Why do you want to double your bobcat catch? Why do you want to river trap for the first time? Or why do you want to pick up the bill for a $5,000 four-wheeler to go trapping fox? Why do you really want to do it? See, when Jeff's doing this for months, he's actually playing chess with himself, trying to outsmart the do's and the don'ts. And he's gathering research, and in the back of his mind, is it worth it? Is it worth doing this for? And if his answer is yes, after a long time of contemplating, he's going to get over it. See, like, I'm trying to get Jeff to start lifting weights. And I've been working on Jeff for about 6 months. And he's thought about it. He's even talked about a couple of gyms. He's got some weights there at his shop, some small ones. But I know that Jeff would enjoy trapping more if he was a lot stronger. He's not a weak person now, but I just know Jeff well enough to know he could take that extra strength and really do something with it. So I've been pushing him to go lift weights. One of these days, if I ever get a call from Jeff that he's joined a gym and he's going to start lifting weights, because by then he's already done a bunch of research, he's going to know what he's going to want to do, he's going to know what his goals are, you're going to see Jeff transform in about 6 months, because I know Jeff. Because it won't be half-hearted. It won't even be mortal level. It'll be above that. That's because it's Jeff. That's the way his brain works. But he never does anything on a knee-jerk reaction when he's going to make a decision to do this. I think one of the reasons people fail is they don't allow or they don't strive for accountability. If you remember, I've had several people on some of my websites start a journal, which I wanted them to do, about their trapping season. They had these goals they wanted to meet. They were high goals, what they learned, and different stuff like that. And I gave them my platforms to tell everybody out there that wanted to read it what they were doing and what they wanted to do. It's a form of accountability. Accountability goes a long way. I promise you that. Accountability is one of those things that is the reason most businesses or most business owners fail, because they don't have a boss anymore. They're not accountable to anybody. And it's easy to let things slide. It's easy to take more days off than you should. It's easy to put off the task at hand because they're not pleasant till it builds up and it explodes. There's no accountability. See, when you're an employee and your boss is beating on you, it seems like with a stick every day, you got plenty of accountability because he's checking on you every day. But when you're the boss, you don't have that accountability. there's something about peer pressure with the right people that people go great lengths to do accountability. I've noticed this in the carnivore and the keto world on Instagram. People start Instagram pages to chronicle their journey on these new diets. And they show what they eat, they talk about what they exercise, they do it day after day after day. And if a couple of weeks go by and they don't post something, all those people that have been rooting for them to succeed starts PMing them. And they go, hey, what's going on? We haven't seen you in a while. How's it going? You still on track? And lo and behold, they come back with a fury. Strict carnivore. Strict exercise. Worrying about their sleep. Drinking plenty of water. All this type stuff. And then if they slack off again, all those people that's been watching, contact them again. Now, on Instagram, you really don't even know who those people are for the most part. It's kind of like Facebook friends. I've got 5,000 on Facebook. I probably realistically know 400 maybe. I don't know who the rest of those people are. But it says Clint's friends. And it means more to me if they say something than it does some total stranger on the internet. So if you were trying to jump to 100 coyotes a year, you can use social media to put pressure on yourself to stay in the game and do the work. Because now people are going to have eyeballs on what you're doing. And you know that they're watching. And there's going to be certain people that are waiting for you to fail. And that in itself is motivation. I hope every one of y'all has a wolf pack. You've got a core group of friends that if you want accountability, I promise you they will give you accountability. They will ride your ass. They will make fun of you. They will support you. They will laugh with you. They will cry with you. And they will kick you right between the butt cheeks if you need it. That's accountability. See, in the Army, we had squads and teams. You're accountable to everybody, and everybody was accountable to everybody else. Someone starts slowing down, falling down, getting a little lazy. Oh, everybody just rode them till they got right back up to where they wanted to be. But civilians, especially in this world we live in now where everybody's like, ain't nobody gonna tell me nothing, and all that type stuff. There's not a chance for accountability because it's always defensive. If Chip or Jeff, Carl, Tim, or some of my other Alan, some of my other friends were to call up and go, dude, what are you doing? You know, you're falling way behind on this. It's going to hurt your business and this, that, and the other. I'm going to take serious note of that. And if I was starting a new project, I always let them know because the wolf pack always supports the pack. And they'll give me encouragement when I need encouragement. And I'll get a phone call when I need a serious phone call. Accountability. It can be with your wife. It can be with the public. It can be with core friends. It can be with a pastor. It can be with a psychiatrist. It can be anything that you need it to be. But it needs to be in a form where if you start dropping the ball, it's going to be so uncomfortable for you that you'll do what you don't want to do so you can finish the task at hand. Accountability. Figure out a way to be accountable to somebody or to a group. The other reason I think all of these knee-jerk reaction plans don't work is they don't have a real plan. See, when I talked to Jeff about his keto diet, He's tracking it. He studied it. He knows what the micros are on everything that he puts in his mouth. He knows the calories. He knows the percentages of fat and protein, which is important in keto. It's a high fat diet. He knows all of that. He's got a plan. You want to go out of state? See, just saying you want to go out of state, saying you want to be in shape, saying you want to lose some weight, say you want to catch some more coyotes, that doesn't really mean anything. But when you actually start planning for this to work, which most people for some reason refuse to plan, and you've got a set of small goals that lead up to the big goals, holy cow, stuff starts happening. I mean, if you want to lose some weight and you just have, I'm not going to eat junk food, but on Sunday for a month, you're going to lose some weight. And then you're going to cut out maybe some pasta, then some bread. And you build this strategy up to where when it's said and done, you're eating pretty clean, you probably lost a bunch of weight, you're feeling a whole lot better, and you're going to want to do something physical because you now feel good enough to want to go do something. It's the same way with trapping. Where do you want to go? How are you going to get there? Where are you going to stay? Where are you going to skin? Where are you going to plug up freezers? How are you going to get permission? Is it public? Is it private where you want to go? What is the weather like? How do I need to prepare for that? Do I need a four-wheeler? Like if you're going to Arkansas or Mississippi or Louisiana and you're not going to be doing anything but road trapping, you need a four-wheeler in the Delta. Okay, I need a four-wheeler. How do I get a four-wheeler? Maybe I need to go cut yards for 6 months to pay for the four-wheeler because I don't want to be in debt either. Maybe I could sell some traps I'm not using. Something. But when you lay this out, because, see, the thing of going out of state, I know why it's hard for guys to do it. Because you sit down, and you start thinking about it, and you come up with 30 questions that you don't know the answer to. 30 questions is a lot of questions. And there's a lot of unknowns. And then you start asking other people and you start getting very generic answers from a lot of other people that probably haven't done much of what you're wanting to do anyway. And you get more questions and then it starts getting a little scary because these questions keep mounting up. Now, the beautiful thing about questions in a plan is different than non-plan is if you're thinking about where do I stay, you don't worry about where do I skin. You just answer that one question. Do I have some relatives that live there? Are there some hunting clubs that I can contact? Is there some timber companies that allow people to trap there? Are there some local motels? Can I stay in a camper? And once you get the where am I going to stay out of the way, that's marked off. And then, okay, well, how am I going to skin? Well, then you start asking those people, do you have a shed? Do you have a barn? Do you, you know, is there somewhere like that? Is there a bridge I can go under if it's raining? And then you check that off. And how many traps do I need? How many snares do I need? You answer each individual question one at a time. And then before long, your mountain of uncertainty, because you didn't have a plan to begin with, now it starts coming into focus. Where am I going to stay? There. How am I going to skin? Like this. Where am I going to plug in freezers? Over there. Is there a live market? Yes or no. Do I want to do the live market? Yes or no. Am I going to flesh while I'm down there? Am I going to put them in the freezer? Or all these different questions, one at a time. And then all of a sudden you start getting a plan. See, anything like that that's worth doing, in my humble opinion, you have to look at it like you're doing some type of competition. And for that to happen, you need to train for that. And the training part of that is learning these questions and how you answer them. Unfortunately, today, the easy thing that most people do, which gets them in trouble, is they will call up somebody or put it on a forum somewhere on Facebook, and they will ask all these other people with all these other ideas about what they should do, which there's nothing wrong with that. But you just get more confused. You have to isolate the questions and work on each individual question. And then once you start building that up, it's kind of like a training program for anything. You start small, you get some momentum going, you start doing a little bit more, and you start doing a little bit more. Then the next thing you know, you're rolling out of your driveway to go do your dream trapping trip, and you don't have all the answers, but you got enough answers, you can go get the job done. Because stuff's going to come up, and you're going to have to improvise, and that's just life. But you started with a plan because you answered the individual questions. How am I going to get out of debt? Well, what am I paying for that I really don't need? Do I need the highest rate of internet so I can play games? Or is the games more important than the debt? Or is the debt more important than the games? Can we cut out going out to eat? There's a lot of things you got to ask yourself to get out of debt. You got to prioritize. You got to come up with a plan. If you do that, these resolution type things work out because you do the work. The biggest one I see is the problem with the New Year's resolution type things is what is the true motivation? Again, when no one else is around, when you're not worried about what anybody else thinks or says, why do you want to do this? What is it? See, whatever the reason is, just be honest with yourself about what it is. Because it can be the same task, but mean many different things to different people. Going out of state trapping. What's your motivation? I've been on out of state trips because I needed money drastically, and there was a particular animal that was bringing good money, and I knew they had them, so I went trapping. Money was the motivation. I've been on out-of-state trips where publicity was the motivation. Or I wanted to go and shoot a DVD, so making the DVD was the motivation. Or I wanted to go spend time with a good friend of mine, and I wanted to trap hard and have some good old-fashioned male camaraderie. Different motivation, same task. Sometimes it's been for business purposes to really do a good job for somebody because I know that they're an influencer and they would supply other work later down the road with all their friends and contacts. Same task, many things. It could be that you want to take your grandchildren with you or your son or your wife. It could be you want to see just what the experience is like. See, all these are the right answers. But you have to know what it is. Because if you don't know what your motivation is, you're not going to know how to do a right plan. Because if you're going just because you want to go out of state and brag about how many animals you catch, which is fine, then you need to go somewhere that has a lot of animals, that you have a lot of resources at your disposal, and a lot of land that you can traverse very fastly to get to the next set. If you're going because you want to shoot a video, well then you're not so much worried about the massive catch as you are the good content. What is the motivation? Why do you want to lose weight? Because you don't think you look good? Or because you're getting close to being diabetic? or it hurts every morning when you get out of bed. Or you know that everybody in your family has died of a heart attack by the time they're 55 that was overweight. What's the motivation? Why do you want out of debt? So you can have more money to buy more toys? I guess that's a reason. How about being a good example to your kids? How about doing the correct thing of a man so you've got plenty of resources so your wife feels very secure? Maybe it's because if you didn't have to make so much money to spend so much money on the bills, you could actually build a good relationship with your wife and kids, which you can't do now because you got to work all the time to buy for crap that's in a garage. See, if that was the motivation to get out of debt, you've got a strong motivation. And you focus on that motivation. And you let that burn in you on that motivation. And that'll get you through the times when you want to be lazy. What is the motivation? When most people go to the gym, I can tell you they have no plan. It was a knee-jerk reaction. And they couldn't tell you what their goal is for going to the gym besides a generic term that they heard off TV. And most trappers couldn't tell you that about what their goal really is and why that's so important to them. But if they can ever articulate it and stew in it and think about it all the time, all the stuff that seems hardship for everybody else is not so hard for them. Because if you need to get out of debt so you can spend more time with your wife because you know sooner or later she's going to walk out, that's a damn strong motivation if you love your wife. If it's to buy more toys, not as strong as a motivation. Because as soon as you buy that toy, you're just going to find another one. I think coming up with goals and plans and knowing the motivation and all that, that's what drives men. Men are pretty simple creatures. We want to have a good family life and we want to go conquer and build shit. That's what we are designed to do. But most people, most men today, don't go out and conquer and build stuff. They just get along to pay the bills to do it again next week. There's no purpose in that. Getting out of debt because you know you're going to have a better marriage, that's a purpose. Getting out of debt so you can just go buy more toys, I don't know if that's the same type of purpose. If you wanted to become a professional trapper, and that was your purpose, you would look at going out of state like you were going to training camp. You're going to learn. You're going to think. You're going to be honest with yourself about what you're good at, what your weak points are, why it didn't work out the way you wanted it, why parts of it didn't work out the way you wanted it. How did you make your planning better where it was more efficient and flowed better? It's pretty good motivating. There's a lot of guys that say they want to be professional trappers. They don't want to do the work. They just want it. Like everybody, you know, all males want to look muscular and lean and, you know, have like a Greek god body. But the Doritos just has more power over them. Because they really don't want it. They just kind of want it. But there's no purpose behind it. If you want to change your life in one aspect or the other, guys, whether it's in trapping, hunting, your finances, your health, whatever it is, you need to have a purpose for that. That purpose is what gets you through. Trust me, it's not going to a convention where people know what your name is. That is not going to get you through a hard trip. Using it as a training grounds to be a better trapper for the future, and that's your mentality, that'll get you through some freaking hard times. The problem is we all have habits and we're human. Habits are hard to break. Habits are habits because that's what they are, is what you normally do without thinking about it. Habits, guys, are tough. Bad habits in trapping, bad habits in eating, bad habits with money. It doesn't make any difference. They're just bad habits. And you've got to physically break them over and over and over and over and over again. And that's never going to work till you replace the bad habits with a good one. Do not try to change everything in your life in a day. That is a huge, I've done it. I've done that in the past with trying to get in shape for trapping season. I've done that in the past with the trying to save money. I've done that in the past in a lot of different things. It never works. Small steps build on to bigger steps, which lead on to long strides, which leads on to the marathon. Because if you want to change habits and you want to change your life, guys, it is a marathon, not a sprint. You want to build a stable business, it's not going to happen in 5 years. Sorry, not going to happen. You want to build a good marriage, it ain't going to happen in a year. You want to have a very healthy, strong body, it's not going to happen in 3 months. Not going to happen. I know everything today is supposed to be instant. There's a hack, there's a secret, I was just listening, coming down other night with my wife, and there's a thing on the radio about a quick get quick rich scheme all flipping houses in Chattanooga. This guy's the expert. There's only so many openings. It's free. He'll show you how to spend other people's money to build your future. People fall for that crap all the time because they're looking for a shortcut. It's a marathon. Resolutions to change your life are marathons. It's slow, it's arduous. Seems like it's never going to be over until the habits change and you don't think about it anymore. And again, I think it all boils down to purpose and accountability. If you want to go out of state trapping, you need to let other trappers that has your back know that you're going out of state, that you're friends with, that you can talk about it with, and they can ask you questions to keep you kind of going in the right direction. You know, if you start lagging on finding information, they can kind of get you in that right direction. If you're going to try to change your diet or your weight, find some way to be accountable to other people. Because when there's no one else with you, and those Cheetos are calling your name, it's easy just to eat the Cheetos. But if you know that you're going to have to lie to people that want you to succeed over the Cheetos, there's a good chance you're going to leave those Cheetos right where they are. If you're wanting to catch 100 coyotes, if that's your goal, or 500 or 300 or whatever it is, you need to have two or three close friends that knows every single day what you catch. Every single day, how many you set and remake. You need to be accountable. And if you do that, I promise you, you will work harder than you've ever worked in your life for that to pan out. Because you don't want to be a loser to them. You don't want them to be able to say, "See, I told you he couldn't do it. He's not strong enough for that. He's too mentally weak to pull that off. He's just all air. There's something about guys, and I'm sure girls too, but I'm not one, so I'm not going to speak for one, but guys, you don't want to be the guy that's just a blowhard. Find somebody, let them know what your purpose is, and let them be accountable, or let you be accountable to them. Guys, that is a way to get some serious crap done in this world. Whatever it is. See, when I had, before we moved and I had that permaculture farm, you know why I did those YouTube videos all the time? That was my way of being accountable to everybody else that was watching those YouTube videos. Because whenever I did anything, there'd be 15 questions and I'd have to know why I did what I did. I'd have to be able to justify what I did, what I did. I have to be justify how that's going to hook into the new system. When I didn't put videos up, people wanted to know why. And I had to, you know, ignore them, or basically, you know, whatever the reason was, I had to be able to tell them what it was. And even when I didn't want to go do some things sometimes because, you know, the lazy monster was just crawling all over me, I didn't want to be the guy that was not doing what I said I was going to do. And it pushed me forward. Every one of us can do whatever we want to do. I truly believe that. If you've listened to this show for any amount of time, I think you believe that I believe that. The question is, do you believe it? Do you believe your worth, your effort to do whatever it is that you feel that you need to go do? Because it's up to you, not me, not the group you're accountable to, but to you. You don't know how sad it is to me, of all the trappers I've talked to, that talk year after year about wanting to go out of state, that wants to go up to the mountains and go trapping. They want to go canoeing down a certain river and stay in a tent and trap along the way. And they talk about it all the time. They light up. And the next year, it's the same thing. Sooner or later, you got to shut up and put up. Make 2020 the year that you put up. Watch what happens. Strive for your full potential, guys, in trapping and in life. And I promise you, you'll be amazed at where you end up. I want that for everybody that listens to Trapping Radio. So 2020 is the year we shut up and we just put up. I think that's a pretty good motto, and I think I'll close with that.